Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. If you were given the task of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in another country, how would you do it? What would you use that has proven accessible and impactful as a resource? Steve and Jan Volker have worked on developing the Jesus film, the go-to resource. We pause at the beginning of our show just for a moment to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to bring you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know the one who loves you and knows you, even as the Jesus film goes to a plethora of languages across the world. Today, the Lord calls you to himself in this language of the heart to speak to you, to remind you that God loves you so much, dear friend, that no matter what you've done, where you've been, what you're going through even right now, there is always hope in Jesus who loves you so much he died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And so today, the living Christ, dear one, calls you to himself, even as he's touched the heart of Steve and Jan Volker. Steve and Jan have served with Campus Crusade for Christ for 30 years at Cal Berkeley, Portland State, and together at Stanford University. For nearly two decades, they've worked with the Jesus Film Project, a film that has been translated into 1,673 languages, making it the tool of choice for over 1,500 mission agencies and denominations to plant churches internationally. They join us today. Steve and Jan, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Tell me, Steve, where did you grow up?
I was born in Vancouver, Washington. My parents moved to Eastern Washington, and it was kind of a Leave It to Beaver kind of a time of life, you know, in the 50s. And so most of my growing up years was in the Tri-Cities, but then we moved back to Vancouver and finished high school there. And so that's primarily where I grew up.
How about you, Jan?
I grew up in San Jose, California, and back when it was the Valley of Blossoms and farming, and I grew up with San Jose. So... Mm.
Steve, how did you become a Christian?
Great question. Well, for 21 years, I knew all about Christ, but I never really knew him. I went to church and Sunday school and Vacation Bible School. But in the end of my high school time, I decided to go my own independent way. And it wasn't until right before my junior year in college, before my senior year in college, I remember looking up a friend of mine who seemed to have a different brand of Christianity than I had, and I wasn't really sure what it was. So I looked him up that summer, and he invited me to a church. Actually, it was a mixed church. It was a African-American church, but a lot of white people going to that church as well in downtown Portland. And on Friday night, it was packed with half African-American, half white. And I remember after one service one time, talking to somebody who we ran into a friend of ours who actually had just turned away from drugs, and he had flushed it down the toilet, and I was intrigued by his testimony, and I was with my friend Rick, who had invited me to this event, and I made a comment about his changed life, and right away, a woman that was standing there said and asked me, "Well, would you like to ask Christ in your life?" And I said, I kind of said yes. And then she said, "Well, would you like to kneel down right here and ask Christ in your life?" And this was across from the Civic Auditorium. At the time, they called it the Four Quartz Fountain. It's called something else now. So I kind of gulped and I said, "Okay." And so I knelt down right there and I asked Christ in my life. And that was in 1970, right before my senior year in college.
What do you think happened? What do you think happened, Steve, when you knelt down? Was there something about your posture that was reflective of what was going on in your heart? It strikes me that you just knelt right there.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's kind of funny as I think back. I remember a ninth grade teacher saying, he's a non-Christian as far as I know, but he said, you know, the decisions you make between the ages of 18 and 22 will largely determine the course of the rest of your life. And it's funny, that would go through my mind right then, but I was really afraid that maybe I never would make that decision. And so, you know, I knew, like I said, I knew about Christ, but I never really knew him in a personal relationship. And so that is, that was the missing piece in my own life, is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Danny, could I jump in and say, how about that for a divine appointment? A lady standing next to him.
Yes.
Jen, who influenced you? I do want to hear about how you came to the Lord, too. Mm-hmm. But who influenced you most in your growing up years there in San Jose?
Really, it was my mom. Just a dear believer in a very quiet way. Just brought us up to be good people. And yet for me, she influenced me, and I looked up to her a lot. But when I went away to college, I was at UCSB, and I, you know, that's a party school. So I got caught up in some of that. And my dad didn't ever allow us to pray in our home, and we never went to church. So I didn't know very much about God. But halfway through my college years, I broke up with my boyfriend, who had been a college boyfriend, and it was devastating because I thought this was the guy I was going to spend the rest of my life with. And my life was empty. And so at that time, my brother John was at UCSB also and was in a big room in his dorm when all these students poured in, and this very exciting man named Josh McDowell came in and spoke on evidence for the resurrection. So my brother John was impacted to receive Christ as his personal Savior, and he became so alive and happy and loving. I began to watch his life, and that's how I ended up being intrigued that maybe it's not just some doctrine. I was a religious studies minor, so I'd been studying Hinduism, Buddhism, meeting the Bodhisattvas there, and really getting into there must be some other answer to life. And my brother had found it, and I saw his life change. He was a different person when he received Christ living inside him. So thankfully, I met a Campus Crusade for Christ staff woman, Jan Vanderveen, and her husband Art, an awesome Bible teacher. And I realized Jesus really did die for me, and he wanted to come into my life and actually change my life and lead me. So my whole life changed so radically. I was going to become a teacher. I was doing my student teaching, and I decided, Lord, you're calling me to help girls on college campuses to find this life change and following you that's eternal life starting right then. And so I went on staff with Campus Crusade right after that.
So you went on staff with Campus Crusade, known as CRU today, right?
Right. The short form, the kids named that. Okay. We're going to CRU.
Now, Steve, I didn't ask about the influence in your early years, but could you share a little bit about that, and then we'll tie it together and how you met?
You know, in thinking about that, I remember going through catechism as a kid, and the pastor, I was probably 12 or 13, said, you know, Steve, you might want to consider going into ministry. And I laughed out loud. And I didn't say much, but I never really thought about that since, you know, it was many years later when I reflected on that brief comment. But, and then I think the person that I'd mentioned briefly that had an impact on my life was Rick, who, you know, he had some kind of there was something different about his Christianity than mine. So I ended up, he was the person I looked up, you know, just before I had become a Christian. And so he was instrumental in leading me to the Lord. So I have to say that Rick had a real, very powerful influence in my life.
Well, you certainly, both of you have certainly influenced many lives at a critical time in life during the college years. And it's, for me, I think about the kind of impact that you have had and the generations of spiritual impact of lives being touched by the love of Christ through the lives whom you have touched. When we come back from our break, one question certainly does remain, at least at this point, and that is, how did Steve and Jan meet? How did you meet? So let's talk about that when we come back from our break. Steve and Jan Volker, they have spent decades of their lives working with college students, students with very bright, brilliant minds, and yet meeting a need of the soul, spiritually, through Jesus Christ. And the film project, Jesus Film Project, worldwide. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiyawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Jan Volker have served for 30 years for Campus Crusade for Christ, Cal Berkeley, Portland State, together at Stanford University. Jan Volker graduated from UC Santa Barbara with a bachelor's degree in history, a master's in clinical psychology. She's a licensed marriage and family counselor in California. Thanks for joining us today, the Good Life Radio program. You can find out more about this show at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can download this program as a gift to you. Go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Steve, how did you and Jan meet?
That's a good question. You know, I can't think of a better place to meet your spouse than on staff with Crew, because she was already on staff, I was already on staff, and so both of us had a real heart to serve the Lord. And actually, I was in the music ministry at the time, and we were traveling through Portland. We were there, and we were singing, and Jan gave her testimony. I asked the director for her phone number, and our first date was at Washington Park in Portland, Oregon. And it took about 4 years later we finally got married, but it was, I didn't tell her this, and I'd even forgotten about it. But after our first date, I heard this little voice. I don't really hear voices, but I mean, I heard this little voice: "You're gonna marry that woman." And it turned out to be true. I really had forgotten about it at the time, and I never told her that before we got married. But so it was without a doubt the second best decision I ever made. The first being, you know, and you receive Christ. So that's kind of real briefly the story.
Danny, do we get to find out from Jan why it took 4 years? I wish you could see the expression on Jan's face as he's explaining this.
Well, as he said, we were on staff with Crusade, and he was stationed at Berkeley. I was stationed at Portland State, so we were very far away, and we'd see each other in the summertime. And the exciting thing for me was that God was leading our relationship all along, because we were so far apart. But I kept thinking of him, and he kept thinking of me. So we started dating one summer and really realized maybe there really is something there. And then Steve felt strongly that he wasn't going to get married unless God was really showing him. So we had a break at that point. And, of course, to have a man say that, "I'm really following God, and I want to marry you, but I'm going to wait till God shows me," made me fall in love with him even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year later, next summer, we just reconnected and realized that time, Steve said, "I'm not going to leave my Bible." One morning, he said, "I'm not going to leave my Bible until God actually leads me and indicates," like in 1 John chapter 1, he leads us. The Holy Spirit moves. And thankfully, Steve listened, and then I was ready to get married too. Very glad. We've had 42 years together.
Wonderful.
We just celebrated 42 years in June, so that was pretty exciting.
Well, you were on the Cal Berkeley campus and Portland State campus, and then together, well, how did you come together through marriage to work at Stanford?
Well, that's a pretty simple answer. I was asked to go to Stanford and by the leadership and to be the director there. So that's how that happened.
And we had a team of about 10 full-time staff. Just awesome people. What a great experience that was, because as we were kind of kicking off, restarting Campus Crusade there, it had been a little bit slowed down after Jim Stump was gone for 2 or 3 years. And then we came, and it was just an exciting experience. We started out, Steve had us all go to the top of Hu Tao, which is Hoover Tower. We had all-night prayer, and we did prayer walking around the campus, just a few students and our staff team. And as that year went on, by the end of 3 or 4 years, we had something like 140 students in discipleship groups where they were committed to follow Jesus and start their own discipleship group, teaching others to be multiplying disciples and reaching out. So it was a very exciting time, and that's where we met Darren Maurer.
And that's Stanford. What God's using him today in Houston is discipleship. So thank you for such a good start.
Yeah.
How important is discipleship? When we think about Campus Crusade or CRU, some may think of it as evangelistic, an evangelistic ministry. But how important is discipleship when it comes to an evangelistic thrust?
Well, very important. You know, the main command, the Great Commission, some people call it the Great Omission, but it's go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Many people, I remember asking this in a class that I was just kind of substitute teaching in a Christian college, and I asked the students, you know, what is the main command there? Go or make disciples? And I had people raise their hand. There's only one person that raised their hand that it was make disciples. Everybody else raised their hand that the main command was go. But actually, the main command in the Greek there is actually make disciples, which involves, of course, going, baptizing, and teaching. So the answer to your question is very important. First of all, it's the command. And then secondly, it's the process, the entire process of maturation of a life, you know, starting out with growing in their own walk with the Lord, the importance of prayer, so forth. So, you know, all that is extremely important. So,
and I add in that as staff members, that is the critical piece, is discipling, win, build, and send. And it's been exciting since now we work with the Jesus Film Project overseas at many of the places where the unreached people are. We don't ever show a Jesus film without making sure there's staff behind, staying behind to disciple and build multiplying disciples and build a church. Youthful fellowship, older group in a fellowship, and a church. So that's, discipleship is critical to everything we do. Go and make disciples, teaching them everything I taught you.
I want to go on to the Jesus Film Project, but just one more thought on discipleship and on the college campus, specifically. Let's talk about Stanford. What experiences with students, the students, live on in your memory when it comes to the critical piece of discipleship?
I'll start with just one student who came to know Christ really through being on that campus of Stanford. Teacher after teacher would talk against the Bible and talk against Jesus in the classroom. And so she finally got into a math class where some teacher was going on and on, spending time telling how the Bible isn't true, Jesus isn't true. It made her think there must be something about Jesus. Well, she ended up receiving Christ, and she joined my discipleship group, and I could see that, you know how 2 Timothy says, the things you've learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, you know, these entrust faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And she was a faithful woman, and she was able to teach. She was Phi Beta Kappa from Stanford. And so I, you know, we, as we did with everyone in our discipleship group, she, it's just an impact where she just picked up everything. And thankfully, it wasn't me. It was the Lord himself living inside her, the abiding in Christ and the Holy Spirit strongly within her, where she started leading a discipleship group and helped her girls to start discipleship groups. And it was so prolific and so exciting to see the changed lives of these girls who'd have wine and cheese parties, and we'd come to share Christ. And they didn't know him, but that's what they did at Stanford. Mm-hmm. It was in the dorms. And then people would come to know Christ, and their whole lives would change. Or in a sorority, they'd just have a gathering. And Andrea was big into that. She was growing as a disciple of Christ. And then she felt led to go on staff with Crew after graduation, and has been in Hungary ever since.
Wow.
When she and her husband were on staff with Crusade, and now they've planted a church north of Budapest. And it's growing, growing. Women's Bible studies, all the things that she learned on Stanford, she's put into practice, not only in campuses, but now, you know, 20 years later as a pastor's wife there in Hungary.
And married a Hungarian as well.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about that, I thought of a student that, I've had several students contact me several years after being there. I mean, 20 years later. And one student that came by, and he was in our area, and he visited us, and he had become a doctor. He had received Christ with me at Stanford. I asked him, you know, the classic question, if you were to die tonight. He reminded me, I asked him this. I don't remember asking him this, but he said, I asked him, if you were to die tonight, are you certain you'd go to heaven? And that was the question that got him thinking. And he said, no, I'm not certain. So he received Christ. And he was a freshman at the time, so I was able to spend several years with him. And he became a doctor. And when I just saw him maybe a few years ago, he had just retired as a doctor, and now he is going in and out of Africa, training other physicians, surgery and so forth. And so it's pretty exciting, you know, to see students that have, you know, they're continuing on walking with the Lord and having an impact. And it's... you know, I have to say one of my passions is change lives, and it's fun to see lives that are changed, and I just have a little teeny part, you know, in that.
Steve and Jen Volker you've heard about Andrea, who now lives in Budapest, Hungary, as the church planter, and her husband there leading and changing lives for the cause of Christ in the name of Jesus, and a doctor, as Steve recollects, the time spent with him, and that doctor's changed life, and now the continuation overseas. Well, they're involved in a work that's prolific in terms of impact all over the world with the Jesus Film Project. When we come back, we'll find out from Steve and Jan Volker, how did God lead them in this way? Now we're talking about nearly 20 years of work with the Jesus Film Project. Steve has traveled to 39 countries in Asia, Africa, and Europe. He's also pastored a church in Solvang, California. There's more to his story, their story, Steve and Jen, and they'll share more heart to heart with you, dear friend. So glad you're with us. Stay with us now. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, have you seen it? Have you seen the Jesus film? If you have, you know the impact that it has had on you, and you can only imagine, as I can, the impact that it's having on people all over the world in many different languages. And we have Steve and Jan Volker with us today, our guests. They have worked with the Jesus Film Project for nearly two decades. Steve Volker graduated from the University of Washington. He earned his bachelor's degree in business and a Master of Divinity from Western Seminary. As I said before the break, he traveled to 39 countries in Asia, Africa, and Europe, pastored a church in Solvang, California, and for 6 years did that and owned an insurance agency for 10. Steve is with us with his dear wife, Jen, and thank you for joining us today. You can find out more about the Jesus Film at jesusfilm.org. Again, the jesusfilm.org. Jesusfilm.org. So, Steve, Jan, how did the Lord, or when did the Lord begin to lead you to work with the Jesus Film Project?
We went to a briefing, and there were several international speakers, and the founder of the Jesus Film Project, Paul Eshelman, was speaking, and it was such a powerful time for us that we knew that this is where God was leading us, and it just the impact that it's having worldwide. It was just, I don't know how to put it in words, but we just felt just a total peace, both of us, of, you know, coming on and joining this ministry.
It was amazing because it was originally our high school daughter who was in a Bible study with a businessman from the Folsom, Sacramento area, who had gone on a trip to Albania with the Jesus Film Project, which is what we do now. But back in those days, we didn't know. But our daughter kept saying, "Mom, Dad, you've got to see this Jesus film." My Bible study leader went to Albania, and they led all these people to Christ, and the minister of education came to Christ, and now they have the Jesus film in all the schools of Albania. You've got to find out about it. So that was when, as Steve said, we were invited to a briefing, and when we got there, we were both kind of like John Wesley had that warm, strong Holy Spirit leading inside. We both had that. In fact, I even saw my husband weep, and that doesn't happen that often. but the Holy Spirit truly touched us, that this was our new place to serve.
Why do you feel the Jesus film is so impactful?
I think for several reasons. Number one, it's right out of the Word of God. It's based on the Gospel of Luke. And then secondly, it's visual. Much of the world can't read or write. Matter of fact, 2 billion people cannot read or write. They're illiterate. 1 billion people have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, it's in their heart language. It's I remember being in a small room where someone had just come back from country Kazakhstan, and even though they understood Russian from their prior, you know, regime there, they really didn't watch the Jesus film. They, you know, their viewpoint was it's for Russians, it's not for us. But when it was translated into their heart language, Kazakh, they responded greatly. And they said, you know, Jesus is not only for Russians, they're also for me and for us. So it had a significant impact. And so that is the big, big reason. You know, we've seen it presented in large screens in Africa and sitting out under the stars and on a log and pitch dark because there aren't any lights out there in the remote part of Africa. And most of the village comes out and people, you know, many of these people have never even seen a film, and they see it presented that way and they respond, you know, it's just amazing to see it. We've also seen it in home churches in China, with only maybe 20 people and on a little tiny TV screen. And I remember one time we were there and a home church had invited their neighbors and 4 people had indicated they received Christ. And the pastor who hosted asked me to do the initial follow-up, but he was there to follow up with these people. So it's done in many different ways, and it's just, you know, it's a very, very powerful film, again, because it's the Word of God, it's visual, and it's their heart language.
Let's talk a little bit about the strategy that's implemented. You mentioned earlier that there's always staff there before the showing. What happens when the showing takes place, and what happens afterwards?
Well, it's not only staff, because we partner with, I mean, obviously no one organization is going to fulfill the Great Commission in this generation or any generation. It's in cooperation with many organizations. So it's not only with Caps Crusade or with Crew, but it's also with over 1,500 denominations and agencies that are using it. And so it's not just, you know, one organization. So the question was, what happens? Is that what you're saying? Is that
yeah.
what your question?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, depends on where you're at. You know, like in Africa, the film teams, like, for example, I remember a church that had adopted a people group financially, and then I asked the pastor if he'd be interested in going there. And so they had funded a translation of a film in Nigeria. And so we took the senior pastor and several people in the church to Eastern Africa, and there were 5 film teams there already trained and ready to go. So we split up into 5 groups every night for 3 nights. So we, you know, show them 15 times in 3 nights. And, you know, it's not unusual for maybe kids to be sitting on the ground right there, and the adults initially might be standing in the rear, you know, and just checking it out, see what's going on. And then you know, in this one situation, I remember there were there were about 500 people that had come. And out of that, there were about, in this situation, I'm thinking about 300 people that actually indicated to receive Christ. And then at the very end, there's an opportunity to receive Christ, you know, an invitation to receive Christ. And then they'll turn the lights on. It's all done with generators. There's no electricity out there. And then the person hosting it will invite one of the film team member or the partnering ministry will invite them to come forward. And then that's where the follow-up process begins. And I'll never forget on another trip, actually in another part of Nigeria. Oh, excuse me, it was not Nigeria. It was in Kenya. He had a small little church there, and where this was shown, and just a hut, you know, mud, you know, dirt floor, and just thatched roof and mud side walls there, and with straw and so forth. He, you know, when people had, from the people that come forward to receive Christ, he said, I'll never forget his eyes. They were just brilliant. And he said, I've easily doubled my church, you know, this evening. And his eyes were brilliant. I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, I'll never forget the expression on his face and his eyes.
Steve, help us know the process of translation, please.
Well, the translation, we'll send out, first of all, it begins with the script. And this is, you know, done through, we've got a strong partnership with, for example, with Wycliffe and the Wycliffe Bible translators and so, and then others. So a script for the film itself and will be done. And then we have a film traveling team that will be sent out to go to these, you know, all the easy places of the world have been done. Now it's often very difficult places of the world, and they have some real portable, sophisticated equipment where they can record it. And they'll have voices of, you know, Matthew and Jesus and John the Baptist and so forth. And they'll put up in a little room, they might prop up some mattresses for soundproofing somewhat, and they all become those voices. And then they have software that are able to, you know, make the language fit together, you know, with what they've done. For example, if it was originally done with a three-syllable word in English, then they'll try to find as closely as possible a three-syllable word in that language. But it doesn't always work out quite that way. But, you know, it doesn't, you know, so it doesn't look like one of those old Japanese films where, you know, the lips are moving and something else is going on. You know, they did a really good job in getting it all together. And, you know, this is all taken back to our studio in Orlando with some sophisticated equipment where they could put all this thing together. So, and then once the master is done, of course, then you could reproduce it many times. And then this is all, you know, freely given to organizations all over the world. And also the film teams, the Jesus film teams that we have through Crew. So that's kind of the beginning process.
So, Danny, I think you mentioned earlier, the film has been translated into 1,683 different languages?
1,673. I mean, we're pushing, it's more than that now. I think it's getting closer and closer to 1,700, but wow. The number is, you know, constantly changing. So,
mm-hmm. And also the women's film, Magdalena, is the story of five women from the Bible. And it, once again, word for word from the Bible, how Jesus treats women. We originally translated it for women of the Middle East to see how Jesus respects and loved the woman at the well, the woman with the issue of blood, Magdalena, of course. And it's been very powerful in the Middle East. And there's a follow-up film called Rivka that has gone all over. As it turns out, everyone loves the women's film. We use it in the United States, and we use it in places all over the world. And there are children's films as well as Following Jesus Africa, Following Jesus India.
Tell us about the app, please.
Well, yes. It's now on an app on everyone's iPhone, Android, any phone can go to their app store and download Jesus Film Media, and it's every one of our films are on there. So all 1,700 of the different languages are there. All the ones for women, children, follow-up films, including short films that are redemptive themes that are have won prizes, you know, as top films. We have many of those on there that are conversation starters. Mm. And we found in our parks or just meeting people around the United States, people from all different countries are just always interested. Almost everyone is so interested. Oh, you speak Amharic from Ethiopia. I think I have a film. And so the Jesus film is also cut into clips for people if they want to do it that way. So I sometimes show the miraculous catch of fish. Mm-hmm. And they just see a two-minute clip, and they're introduced to Jesus, and they'll be willing to just find out more.
And that's a free app?
It's a free app, and mission organizations use it all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I think those two illustrations that Steve used, we've been in so many countries where every time they show the Jesus film, they're always the teams from that country. In crew, there we have 25,000 staff. Most of them are not white. Mm-hmm. Most of them are internationals, and they know the country, they know the language, they've lived there, and so they stay behind and plant the church. Mm-hmm. We've been able to be a part of. After they show the film, the next morning, the first church service starts.
Wow. JesusFilm.org and Jesus Film Media is the app, correct?
Yes, yes.
Well, when we come back from our break in our final segment, we'll talk more with Steve and Jan Volker. Perhaps you're going through some things right now. Hey, life is not easy. Even in ministry, there are times when challenges come upon missionaries, ministers, people who devote their lives to the work of Christ. Perhaps Steve and Jan could share a little with us. And as they do, I'm believing, trusting that the Lord, through them, will speak to your heart. Because the Lord knows, dear friend, what you're facing right now, what you're feeling at this very moment. And he sends the Volkers to share the love of Jesus with you. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiyawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, for nearly two decades, the Volkers, Steve and Jan, have worked with the Jesus Film Project. It's a film that's been translated using the words of Christ, the words of Scripture, to in film form, in movie form, that's been translated into 1,673 languages.
And counting.
Going up to 1,700 and counting, making it the tool of choice for over 1,500 mission agencies and denominations to plant churches internationally. Find out more about Steve and Jan, JesusFilm.org, and Jesus Film Media. That's the app. You can gain access to this, and all the resources are available for you. Jan and Steve, how has the Lord helped you recently through challenging times?
Well, I think we are grandparents now. And so, and being a mom and a grandma, often the hardest times are when our children are going through hard times. And so I can think of just not too long ago when our daughter was really struggling, and also even in high school when she was really struggling, that causes me to struggle. And there's the darkness that comes and the sadness of concern and worry. And the one thing I found, even years of being a counselor, there are some good answers there. Counselors are great. But I'll never forget when I was going through my hardest time, which is when my kids were teenagers. I'll go back to that. I was depressed. I could diagnose myself. I was getting anxiety. And I was reading my Bible and trying to follow the word, and it wasn't working. And so a friend just turned to me and said, "Remember, in Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, 'Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I give you rest for my soul, for your soul.'" And that's throughout the years, that deep abiding in Christ and coming to Him alone, not trying to do it myself, not becoming a mature Christian, but literally surrendering all and yielding and knowing then the experience of Christ in me, the hope of glory, Him alone. And then what a difference. And during that teenage years, all my friends knew it. I'm usually real bouncy and outgoing, and our Sunday school class was having an event where I could barely do my part as a cheerleader for the Beach Boys in our Sunday school class. We were doing this event. But over that week is when I let it all go, came to Christ alone, to abide in Christ. And one of the times when I got deeper in that, where Jesus Himself, you just open the door and He comes in and takes over. They could see a difference in my life. I was back to the sparkle in my eye, the joy, the hope, and the belief of God's presence with me. And throughout the years, that's still getting deeper and experiencing, it's not me at all. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. So in those times of struggle with teenagers, they came through and God was with them. But now, even as my grandchildren are growing up, I, once again, it's okay, Lord, I yield it all and let You take over. And He overcomes. And I just follow Him in His train of victory, because I can't do it, but He does.
Steve, in a time like this, someone may be as they listen to Jan, their heart resonates with what she's sharing. Could you lead in a prayer? We've got about a minute left. To pray for a dear friend that's listening right now, who's hurting, who's in need.
Father, we go before you. We just thank you for you care for us deeply, each one of us. You created us in your image. And you care for our heart. It is our heart. And Lord, I pray for people who are going through a very difficult time, no matter, it's so many things, children, themselves, addictions, alcoholic addictions, sexual addictions. And Lord, we just lift them up before you, knowing that you're the only one that changes and gives us peace and changes to your image and the person that you want us to be, not necessarily who we want to be, but who you want us to be. Father, minister deeply. You're a compassionate God. I just thank you that you reach down to each one of us in the deepest recesses of our heart and to lift us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tender words, and I'm grateful for you, Steve and Jan, for sharing your heart with us, your life and ministry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Life-changing words indeed from Steve and Jan Volker. You can find out more about them and their ministry, JesusFilm.org. And there's no better time than right now, my friend, to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, I believe this is the perfect moment to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 105:1, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Steve and Jan Volker again, JesusFilm.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.